Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International. In collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
There's virtuoso crazy. John Popper from Blues Traveler. Then there's pop folk legend Decent. Bob Dylan. And then there's the real deal, Larry Adler. One-of-a-kind, true virtuoso of the harmonica, as comfortable in front of an orchestra as he was in front of a campfire. Today, it's 100 years since the birth of the man who forever changed the harmonica, Larry Adler, who died in 2001. Adler was a precocious musician from the start. $7 and a harmonica brought him to New York at age 14. He eventually enrolled in the Peabody Conservatory of Music, but was expelled soon after for being incorrigible. He extolled the virtues of being a lonely individualist, but he is the patron saint of the harmonica, elevating it from toy to concert solo instrument. Robert Bonfilio learned from the master, who was also his friend. We asked him to stop by to mark Larry Adler's 100th birthday. Robert, welcome.
That's great to be here. Great to be here.
It's great for a lot of reasons. I mean, Adler is to the harmonica what Earl Scruggs is to the banjo, in many ways what Les Paul is to the solid body electric guitar. Took an instrument, really created the sense of how it could be more than just a bit of decoration.
Well, actually, I would think more like Segovia, you know, because he had major works written for him for a harmonic and orchestra. And that's truly my connection to Adler, because before he died, he was the only other person I could talk to that was doing what I was doing, which is basically playing the major works for harmonic and orchestra with orchestras all over the world.
How did composers approach the harmonica?
Well, it's like every other instrument. Generally, you work with a virtuoso player. The harmonica is capable of amazing amounts of sounds.
Give me a little tour.
Oh, yeah. The first one concerto that was written was the Mio. And then after he had been blackballed by the House on American Activities Committee, he moved to England. And then we started with English composers. Vaughan Williams wrote a romance for him. And then Vaughan Williams had Arthur Benjamin write a harmonica concerto for him. And then after that, it just went on and on.
Well, we have a recording of Larry Adler playing the Benjamin Concerto. Let's listen to that. That's amazing. The dynamics, the articulation. Was he mic'd when he played that, or was he just standing there in front of the
Most
orchestra?
Of the players played mic'd. Now it's gotten to be where there have been times where I've actually played without a microphone. And also instruments have just gotten to be better since he first started, the Hohner instruments.
As a friend of Larry Adler's, did he think of himself as a Paganini, as a Franz Liszt of his instrument, as a one-of-a-kind?
Well, both ways. You see, he was also friends with people like George and Ira Gershwin. So, you know, when you think of Adler, he used to say, I'm going to play this concerto, but I have to go down to the saloon tonight, you know. And
summertime, no summertime right
no
now.
No summertime but, right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. So there was a real intersection for him between pop music, folk music, and the classical pieces that he did.
Yes, in America, you have to think of the harmonica as being kind of America's instrument. You know, you think of freight trains and, you know, the cowboys and campfires, and Abraham Lincoln played the harmonica. So here we have a cross-section of being a folk instrument, and then at the same time was taken seriously when he had major composers write for it.
And this is an instrument that was solidly popular in the jazz age. Listen to this. Duke Ellington's Sophisticated Lady.
Yes, Mary. He always would play American music the same time.
You know, it feels more, I don't know, warm than a clarinet. You can hear, you know, the clarinet qualities of the harmonica.
Well, one of the things that's interesting is it's the closest instrument you play to your brain. You know, it's right in your mouth. It's cupped by your hands. And you can imagine if you could cup a piano in your hands, what kind of sounds you can get out of it. All the wah-wah kind of sound bends everything that you can do. And you make these sounds with your breath control. It is so personal. And you think of it as being somebody that's out in the middle of nowhere, lonely, all that has an eerie sound. But all instruments, they come from folk and they have connotations. Mm-hmm. And the connotations are, you know, simple. You know, they say the flute, oh, it's birds, you know, the horn, well, it's hunting, you know, and that's where they started.
Right.
And the harmonica was a portable instrument in a pioneer society.
So Larry Adler, did he understand his musical contribution as we look back a century since he really started this revolution?
I think so. You know, it's difficult to say. One never knows what people think at the end. When you play concertos with orchestras, you know, it's a very different world from the world that is pop music. There's a whole other world of music out there that's wonderful.
Well, it's great to be close to your brain, Robert Bonfiglio. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity.
Why don't you take us out with a tune? Robert Bonfiglio, harmonica player, friends with Larry Adler, born 100 years ago today.